This episode contains adult content. Listener discretion is advised. The MFGcast presents To Catch a Thief. So yeah, so you and Freddie kind of take to the local drinking hole, kind of have yourselves a good old time. I think instead of like playing out the night, I think we can just kind of say that you both have a nice little drink on Stanwyck's dime and just kind of enjoy yourselves and kind of let loose a little bit until the next morning. So we'll pick up that next morning. So what's George's mindset?
So I think, as he's pondering on stuff and, you know, they've been talking a little bit about the case over the course of the night. I mean, he doesn't know this guy from Adam. So like, yeah. I'm sure Freddie probably was, you know, so what about this? What about that? So like he kind of deflects a little bit, but it gets him to thinking like, ah, shit, you know, I never talked to the guy who filled in, the other concession guy, the driver that came in that night. Like, wow, that's a pretty big thing that I should probably follow up with. So I definitely want to call over to the stadium, whether it's to talk to Stanwyck directly or, just his assistant, Margo. I mean, she would know who's working. And I think he'd also want to check in with Janice just to see if anything of note has happened. Anything that he needs to follow up with, just let her know that, you know, things are A-okay.
Yeah. Okay. So, yeah. So you call or whatever, and then you hear a female voice pick up and says, Brooklyn Dodgers organization.
Good morning. This is, George Stan. With whom am I speaking?
This is Jane. How may I help you?
Oh, hey, Jane. I have a follow-up, question about what happened. So I need to find out who was the driver that was on, and you're like flip, you know, back to, you know, whatever the date was, you know, Tuesday, you know, whatever the day is, picked up the evening delivery, when Johnny went home sick.
And you hear kind of a pause and she just kind of says to like, there's just this weird, awkward silence. And she's like, I'm sorry, sir. I don't really know your name.
Oh, I'm sorry. Forgive me. I'm George Armstrong. I'm a private investigator.
Okay.
License number, blah, blah, blah.
Unfortunately, Mr. Stanwyck and the organization haven't really told me about anything I should be discussing with you. So if you'll give me a second, I'm going to see if I can get a hold of Mr. Stanwyck just to make sure that I'm able to talk to you about that. So if you can give me 1 second, please hold.
Yeah, sure.
And you hear the clicking of like, or what are, I think like back then they had, you'd like take a.
Yeah.
Take it out, put it in the next phone hole or whatever. I don't know the technology, so it's terrible what I'm saying, but whatever.
Well, the operators would do that, right? To connect the calls.
Yeah, exactly. So it kind of switches over or whatever, but you don't hear anything. It takes a few moments, and then it switches over, and then you sorry, I gotta think of a last name. Give me a second.
Mm-hmm. But while all this is going on, he just kind of shakes his head. He lights a cigarette. You know, takes a sip of his coffee. Like I fucked that one up. You know, I should have just Nice. Was that a little too late last night?
yeah. And you know, you hear a click over and you hear this is Margot Barker. George, Mr. Armstrong, is that you?
Oh, hey, yes, Miss Barker, how you doing?
Oh, good. You?
I'm doing okay. I had a question I had to follow up on. Just slipped my mind when I talked to what was his name? You're gonna have to edit this. Hold on.
Jane.
Oh,
what did you go for? Gotcha.
Who was the other fucking security guard? I don't want to have this written down.
I have it. It is Tanner Zolt.
Oh, Tanner Zolt. Yeah. God damn it. I have a question. When I was speaking with Tanner Zolt the other day, he said that when Johnny went home early, another guy got called in, hadn't worked that routine too much. I never did get his name. I'd like to follow up with him.
Oh, sure. Of course. His name is Monty Casey.
Okay.
And this is his phone number. She gives you just a random phone number.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, his phone number, not a random phone number. And she's go ahead.
Is he scheduled to be on today, or you have a home address? I'd like to speak to him in person if that's possible.
She says, oh, no, actually, today is his day off. So, I mean, granted, if he's not doing anything, he should be home. And she gives you the address. It's like not that far away from where you're at right now.
Okay. Driver. I don't know why I put a number. God. Okay. Yeah, sure. Yep. He's scratching it out on his notebook. You haven't heard, Johnny hasn't checked in. You haven't seen him. Nobody's heard from him.
No, unfortunately I don't know if you heard, but they actually put out a missing persons on him. So, yeah, we're just praying that he comes back safe.
Your lips to God's ears. There hasn't been any demands. No one's called with any sort of a threat, anything like that.
Surprisingly, no. There's been like zero information. Mr. Stanwyck actually has feelers out in other different areas, and he hasn't really seen anything. He actually asked me to call you, so it's serendipity that you called, because he seems pretty mad that no information has really been found yet.
Well, I wouldn't say no information, but I don't have anything I'm quite comfortable, giving him. I don't want to get his hopes up or anything. I'm working on pulling on a couple of leads, and you see what I could turn up today. I got a couple. I'm gonna follow up with this guy, Mr. Casey, and I got a couple other things I got to check out too.
Okay. Well, I will have the unfun duty of updating him and telling him that there are some irons in the fire, but nothing's really concrete. So yeah, I will get to that. But yeah, make sure, Mr. Armstrong, if you have any information that you can share, please don't be afraid to call our offices again. And she actually gives you her personal line, basically. And she's like, call this number. You can get to me right away without having to get through the organization. And hopefully we'll hear some news soon, because Mr. Stanwyck is, let's just say he's a little he's a little hotter under the collar than I've seen him in recent years. And that doesn't bode well for anyone. Well,
if he gets much hotter, he's going to burn up.
You know what? Nah, never mind. I don't think I should say that out loud.
I laugh because I know she's kind of stuck in the middle. Yeah. All right. Well, it was nice talking with you. I'll check in as soon as I have something more concrete for you.
Okay. I hope that's soon. Good luck, sir.
All right. Thank you. You have a good day.
You as well.
Thank you. And he doesn't even put the receiver down. He just, presses the button. And then calls the office.
Call your office?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. All right. So, a couple of rings, and Janice picks up, and she says, Armstrong Investigations, this is Janice. How may I help you?
Oh, yeah. My cat went missing. Is that super hot detective available to take the job?
And she laughs and she says, you know, what's even more pressing is there's this really terrible investigator that's gone missing, and I haven't been able to find him for a few days now. So it's been interesting.
Oh no, that's terrible.
Yeah. Maybe one day he'll do his job and check in more often, but one can only hope.
How you doing, Janice?
Surprisingly good. Things are slow. Unfortunately for you, the phone is not really ringing off the hook.
Well, I mean, that's okay. I could use a break. I'm deep into this case here. Hopefully this is gonna pay out pretty good.
Well, I hope it brings something, because I've been pretty bored. I've been doing a lot of cleaning and a lot of paperwork, and that's not super fun. But, that's my job.
Well, if you want to bring a book, if nothing's going on, I'm not going to give you a hard time.
All right. Well, it's your dime.
No, I got to pay. You're going to be there either way, right?
Yeah, it's true.
I'm running down a couple of leads on this baseball thing. Nothing pressing over there at the office?
No, not as far as anything goes. But I would be remiss if I wouldn't say that maybe you should check in with Jane.
Okay. Something going on?
No, she just called yesterday morning, just she says to see how you are. And I haven't heard you talk about her lately. So if you are concerned about her, I just a woman's intuition. I think you should probably check in on her.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. I was, I mean, we usually talk. I got caught up in everything yesterday and didn't get a chance to chat with her. Yeah, yeah. Thanks, Janice.
Mm-hmm. Of course. I will keep you abreast if anything comes up, but how is it going over there besides your couple of leads?
Well, I mean, it's fine for me, but the kid they went missing, I think, I don't think anybody's going to find him. And that's a tough nut, but yeah, I should be able to get this thing wrapped up one way or the other.
Well, make sure you're safe out there.
I'm trying.
Because obviously, if you don't come back in one piece, then I don't get paid, so.
No, well, you have a lot of time to read, though.
That is true. Lots of time.
All right, you stay safe. I'll talk to you later.
All right, talk to you soon.
All right, bye. I check the time. I'm assuming Jane is up at this point, right?
Yeah.
It's not like early. 6 in the morning or anything. It's
super early. Yeah, yeah, exactly.
Okay. Yeah, I give her a call.
Okay. You hear, or there's a couple of rings. It takes a little longer than you're used to. And then you hear almost kind of an exasperated breathing as she answers the phone. She's like, hello?
Hey, Jane, baby. How you doing? Sorry I didn't call yesterday. I got called away. I was running around the whole day. How you feeling?
Oh, you know, I'm actually doing pretty good. I just came back from a small jog. And you know what?
That's great.
It didn't hurt as bad as I thought it was going to hurt.
Oh, that's great. I'm so glad to hear that.
How are things going with your investigation?
You know, they're going. I think the kid that's mixed up with this is in a real bad way. I'm hoping that somebody, you know, we can find him. But
so too.
No, holding my breath.
I don't know how you can do your job. It's just, it's sad. I understand it's you're good at it and you should be doing it, but I don't know how you deal with so much misery.
It's well, I mean, it comes with the territory, right? You just try to you know, keep your head down, keep your nose to the grindstone, and you know, when things get a little dark, you just kind of keep it in its own little space. You know what I mean? Like you gotta separate the work from, you know, from everything else.
Well, just make sure that you don't push that stuff way down. If you need to talk, believe me, I've dealt with some dark stuff in my life and I'm willing to listen.
I know. I appreciate that. You doing okay? Everything's good?
You know, I'm doing okay. It's been a lot on me, not only physically, but mentally, to try to get back to where I'm used to. But, I've gone for a few walks, done some jogging, actually gone out with my mom every once in a while just to kind of keep things positive. Yeah, it's been a lot, but I'm making it.
Hey, she doesn't still hate me, does she?
Roll me a brains roll.
Is this an insight check?
I'll have the DLB a 3.
It's a 7.
Okay. She doesn't hate you, but... you can tell she's really trying to work out of a hole that she's kind of in. And so I think it's good news that she's open to talking to you about anything, and also to have the invite of you to tell her anything too, because a lot of people, when they're hurt, there's a lot of people that don't want to hear your hurt. They want to spill their stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And so the fact that she has that open line of communication for you is a good sign.
Okay. And we make plans to go out.
Nice. Nice. Are you going to do it today or are you going to do it some other time?
I gotta lock this down. Well, let's check the timeline here. So we started on Tuesday. I think this was all on Tuesday, yeah.
Wow, that was all one day. That's one thing I don't keep track of enough is the days. So if the fact that that all happened in one day, that's crazy.
Well, so let's think about it. I guess you could edit all this out. So we started on Tuesday, April 1st.
Mm-hmm.
Sullivan came to the office, and then I went from there to the stadium. So if he came over at like 8, we had a, you know, quick conversation, go over to the field. We talked to Stanwyck. I got all that information. I talked to the security guard. Yeah, I figure I was there for probably an hour or two, maybe walking around, you know, not just with Stanwyck.
Yeah.
And then he set me up with the driver and the hotel. So we went, we dropped everything off. I had a late lunch, like a lunner or a lupper, a lupper maybe. And then we went to the Boom Boom Room. So I think this was all four sessions. Wow. Was all one day.
One day. Holy smokes. I tell you, that's a lot of action for one day, at least in our world, at least. Okay. Yeah. Yeah, yeah,
no kidding, right?
So yeah. So yeah, you're one and, you know, 1/8 day in.
And the opening day is Friday, right?
Correct.
Okay. Yeah, I think I make plans for tonight then. We make plans for tonight.
Okay. All right. Sounds good.
I mean, it's not that far of a cab ride, right? Like, I think we said it was like a half an hour or something like that.
Yeah, so
I
yeah. So you could be there pretty quickly.
Or if she wants to meet me here, right? I'm not paying for it.
Yeah.
Have a nice dinner, you know, maybe go to the theater or something.
Well, yeah, you could tell her about the place that you're staying in, that what did I say it was? Diner or restaurant that's
like up, it's top. Not on the roof, but like it's the top story.
Yeah.
With the view and all that stuff.
Yep. I have this written down. I know that.
So it's the Bossert in Manhattan. It's 14 stories. The restaurant is in the top two floors.
That's right. Yep. And that's the Marine Roof is what it's called. And usually I make stuff up. This I actually found. So it's actually the Hotel Bossert, Bossert. And then the Marine Roof is a two-level restaurant on the roof, actually, with a view of Manhattan. I actually pulled this off the internet. It was actually a hotel that existed. And it looked cool as hell. So I was like, I want to insert this into there. It just seems like that's fun as hell. So I did.
Oh, you know what? I actually had a note at the top of session 3 that it was still Tuesday.
Nice.
Okay, we're killing it. Look, in real time, we haven't played this game in like a month, so...
Yeah, exactly. So forgive us if it seems a little spotty, but I'll clean it up so it won't even matter. So I probably even take this out. So she's like, you know, it's weird. However long I've lived here and I've never been to Manhattan. That sounds like a good change of pace.
Oh, that's great. You wanna come up at 6?
Sure. I will take a cab and I'll meet you at the lobby.
Yes. Absolutely. I'll be waiting for you.
All right. You better be there with bells on.
You betcha.
Okay. All right. Well, I'm going to go. I'm going to take a shower because I'm really sweaty from this jog that I had. And I might even take a little bit of a rest because that took a little bit more out of me than I'm used to. So.
Yeah. Take it easy. Okay. You'll need your energy for tonight.
Oh, she just kind of gets a raise out of her or whatever. And she's like, all right, Mr. George Armstrong, you better take care of yourself, too, if you're going to be trying to keep up with me tonight.
I do what I can.
All right. I will see you later.
All right. I'll see you tonight.
All right. Goodbye.
Bye. He lets out like a big sigh. You know, that went pretty well. but now I got to make sure that I'm back on time. So I think... I'll call over to Freddie's room. I assume I have his room number.
Yeah.
He's waiting around for me.
Yeah, exactly. Yep.
Was there anything else I was going to do? Called over to the stadium. Called Janice. Called Jane. Great. Call Freddie and tell him to meet me in the lobby.
All right. He says, I just got done... take a shower, getting all gussied up. So yeah, I'll meet you there in 2 shakes.
All right, sounds good. I'll see you down there. He hangs up, gives a look around, tightens up his tie, you know, shrugs into his coat, pistol in a holster. Mm-hmm. I think he's good to go.
All right, sounds good. All right, me, Ben. Oh, I do have Officer Michaels written down here. Let's go back. let's see. Okay, cool. All right. So you head out. You find, or you have your address for Mr. Monty Casey, and you head over. It's a real run-down kind of apartment building, actually. And it looks like it's a smallish apartment building where there are four rooms or four apartments, basically. And you see that there is a front door that's locked, and then there's like the bells or the
call button,
buzzers or whatever with names aside of them. So there's like Monty Casey and Mary Jubilee and Johnny
Chimpo. It's got to be Chimpo.
Peter's Johnny Jimbo.
Chimpo. Super Troopers.
What's that?
Super Troopers. Johnny Chimpo.
Oh, Johnny Chimpo. Nice. And Lainey Smith.
Okay. Yeah. I assume Freddie's smoking, leaning up against the car. You know, I get out, I go over and, you know, punch the call button for Mr. Casey.
Sounds good. So yeah, you, it takes a few minutes and then you hear, a voice that kind of sounds a little bit older, and you hear a voice. Hello.
Hello. Is this, Mr. Casey?
This is, who is this?
Yes. My name is George Armstrong. I'm a private investigator. I was hired by Mr. Stanwyck. Do you have a couple of minutes? Could we talk?
Sure thing. Come on up. And then you hear, you hear the speaker buzz off, and then you hear a, click off, and then you hear a buzz as he buzzes you in.
Okay. Yep. I pull, you know, when it buzzes, I open up the door and I turn back and I say to Freddy, this shouldn't take too long.
All right. You're the boss, boss.
And he heads on up to whatever the number was on the buzzer. Okay.
Yep. 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 So he's on the third, he is the third apartment, but that's upstairs. So there's one and two are down below, three and four upstairs. So yeah, you go up to number three and,
yep. Yeah, knock on the door.
Yep. So you knock on the door. he pulls the door open, and you see a very kind of like a sloppy kind of bachelor pad. It looks like Mr. Casey is like in like underwear and a white t-shirt, has like a 5 o'clock shadow going on. It looks like he hasn't showered for a bit. And he's smoking a cigarette, and he's like, Mr. Armstrong, come on in.
Yeah, thanks for agreeing to see me. And he kind of like looks around like, oh, jeez.
Yeah.
He fishes out a card, gives him his business card.
All right. Yep. So he kind of takes it, looks at it or whatever, kind of scratches his butt and just kind of puts it on, throws it on the counter or whatever. He goes and sits in his favorite recliner or whatever. And he's like, sorry, I didn't put any coffee on this morning. Can I get you anything?
Oh, no. And he kind of like waves his hands. He's like, I'm good. I just had breakfast before I came over.
Yeah. And you can almost tell like he's just doing it as a courtesy. He doesn't really want to do that for you.
Right.
And he's like, Mr. Stanwyck told me if somebody come to asking for me or whatever, to let him in talk. So yeah. What can I do for you?
Yeah. I'm following up with this whole thing. And he, you know, pulls out his notebook and takes out a pen, you know, licks the tip, and you know. So, can you tell me how long have you been working with the, you know, for the Dodgers there?
Oh yeah, I'm working there for quite a bit actually. But I think coming up next month, I think it's like my sixth year.
Oh yeah, that's good. They treat you pretty good over there.
Well, yes and no. You know, it's just being a concession driver is not glitz and glamour, you know, but. Every once in a while, get to go see a Dodgers game, even though they're the worst seats in the house. That's still fine. I'm still watching a Dodgers game, and you can't complain about that, right?
Yeah, you grab a beer, a bag of peanuts. It's a good day, right?
That's right.
Have you ever worked with Johnny before? Is he a good kid? You know anything about him?
Yeah. You know, Johnny's a good kid. He's a little newer or whatever, but yeah, he's good. Have you heard anything about him yet? I heard he's missing.
Yeah, no, that's what I heard. Hasn't shown up anywhere. But that doesn't mean, you know, that something bad happened. Maybe he's, you know, maybe he got scared and he took off.
Yeah, I hope whatever happened, and I hope he comes back safe.
Yeah. Did you hear anything that night? Did you see anything? I talked to the security guard there, Tanner. He said There's a loud bang. There were some noises or something, but nobody saw anything.
Yeah, it was weird. Well, actually, it's not weird. One of the loud bang was me. I mean, I Mr. Stanwyck, he wasn't too happy when he found out that I dropped a case of one of the cases of beer. He wasn't happy with me. You know, he's always getting on everybody's case. You know, but we're only human, right? It's like my eyesight's not as good as it used to be, and I didn't get the hand holes as good as I wanted to, and you know, I dropped the case of beer, and I had to clean it up. So you know, comes out of my paycheck, unfortunately, but that's life.
Yeah, yeah. Well, he does seem pretty high strung, huh?
Yeah, that's probably the con of the job.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. But you didn't see anything, you didn't hear anything, you didn't see anybody wandering around.
No, unfortunately, I didn't see or hear anything. You know, big dropping the beer there and cleaning that up, that took up a lot of my time. But of course, you know, deliveries gotta be made, so I made the deliveries and stuff like that. And unfortunately, my eyes aren't as good as they used to be, so I didn't see anything. But I wish I did, because it'd be nice to know why this happened.
Oh, somebody's greed is why this happened. That's we could already chalk up that.
Yeah, I suppose. I mean, it's just a ball, right? Just a ball.
Yeah, yeah. That's it. So how old does this guy look? You said older. Does he look like he's 40s, 50s?
Yeah, so he looks like he's like in his 50s. Yeah, maybe okay. Early 50s. So back then it was old. I mean, we're kind of in our 40s, 50s, and that's for other people that's old, but it's not that old. But back then it was old.
So when he's saying that he didn't see anything, he didn't hear anything, he dropped the case of beer. I want to get a read on, you know, whether this guy's telling me the truth.
Sure, sure. I'm gonna have the DL be a five.
A four?
Five.
So he said, oh, five. I got a five exactly, which is a yes, but right.
I think that might be just a straight yes, I think.
I think you got to beat it, but let me pull up the thing. We haven't played in so fucking long.
We haven't done that in a little while.
hit exactly is a yes, but.
Yes, but. Okay.
Because I have a plus two and my highest die was a three.
Okay. So what exactly are you at? What exactly are you looking for? I just want to get that so I can do the but.
I mean, it's more of a feel thing, I guess. Like he's taking in the whole thing, like his body posture. Is he looking at me, or his eyes flicking around? You know, does he start like, you know, rubbing his hands together, or like, you know, picking at something? Like, I'm just, I guess, more of a body language thing, I guess, more than anything else.
Yeah, 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 yeah. So as he's talking to you about these different things or whatever, everything seems very on the up and up. And you're like, okay, everything seems like it's working to, you know, to your advantage as far as you trying to gauge what he's talking about. But it's like something is off about when he talks about dropping the case of beer, but you don't know exactly what that means because you're not reading it right.
Okay. I guess I lean into that a little bit then. Yeah. I'll make a little bit more small talk. I can't think of anything off the top of my head, you know, as a weather or whatever, like, oh yeah, you got a nice place here. And you know, like after another couple of minutes of, you know, just kind of like getting some general information, I'm like, oh yeah, you know, when you said you dropped that, you know, that, the case of food, what was anything going on? Did you get startled by something?
It wasn't food. It was a case of beer. But no, I wasn't startled by anything. It just, you know, it just happened on my watch, and I just you know, and then Mr. Stanwood got mad at me, and he's like starts to sweat a little bit because he's like he wants to answer you, but he also think he's very nervous and he doesn't want to tell you exactly what's happening or what happened.
So I want to persuade him.
Yeah, there we go. Let's do something other than insight, because it feels like that's all my games are is insight. Let's try that.
Because I don't think I want to intimidate.
he wets his underwear and you can see it thoroughly.
He says, like he leans forward a little, like he takes out a smoke and then like, you know, he shakes the pack and he, you know, proffers the one cigarette sticking out of the end to him.
Yeah.
Then, you know, I put the one in my mouth, I light his, you know, I light mine, and I, you know, I lean forward a little bit and I, you know, blow off to the side. I'm like, Mr. Casey, I'm a reasonable guy. You're a reasonable guy. Look, this is my profession. I'm a private investigator, pretty good at reading people. You know, so I've been doing this for quite a while. And I get the sense that, you know, you want to tell me something and maybe you're a little nervous. Look, the only thing I'm interested in is trying to find a ball for Mr. Stanley. If you got something else going on, I don't really care about that, but I need you to like fill me in, because maybe something that you're going to say is going to lead me to somewhere else that doesn't have anything to do with you, huh?
All right, roll me a persuasion. The DL is going to be 4.
Ooh, I rolled a 6. I think it's an 8. Where's my sheet? That's an 8, sir.
I'm going to have to find some more steely characters so you can't roll so good. So yeah, so when you light up his smoke, you can tell like he's like his hand is shaking a little bit, you know, that kind of thing. And he's smoking, he puffs a little bit. You can tell it's just nervous or whatever. And he's like, it had to be
my fault, because if he finds out that you found out, I'm a dead man.
Ooh, whoa, calm down. I don't think it's that big of a deal.
No.
And he like kind of trails off a little bit, and he says, well, and he goes into his story. He says, Johnny was called in sick, and I believe that. And it felt weird that it was so late. And I was going to do his job for him, because he's a good kid and I like my job. So that's what I'm doing. And I go to grab the case of beer, and some guy just comes and just knocks it over and just all over the place. And I'm like, oh, I'm sorry, sir. I didn't mean to get in your way. And I've never seen this guy before. So I was like, you can't be here. And he raised a gun at me. He told me to look the other way. He told me that if I didn't look the other way, he's gonna kill me. And I believed it. He was mean. He was mean, and I know he meant what he said. And he actually starts crying.
He's like, I hope that Johnny's okay.
So I think he leans forward, or maybe stands up, right? Because we're gonna, you know, kind of, you know, pats him on the shoulder. He goes, no. You did the right thing. Guy pulled a gun on you. You're out there doing your job. You don't want to take a bullet. I mean, you know, you work for the company, and that's great and all, but you don't want to take a bullet for nobody.
Yeah, I don't want to take a bullet for anybody, but I also love my job. I don't want to lose that either. I feel like that 1 second just really defined what's happened.
You didn't talk to Tanner after that, did you? Because he told me he didn't see anybody either.
No, I couldn't talk to nobody. I'm too scared, man. I don't know who that guy is, and I don't know where he lurks. Maybe he works for the team, and maybe I don't know what they're into. And I didn't want to take a chance.
And you said you never seen this guy before.
No. I mean, believe me, if you saw that guy, you would know to steer clear. That guy is he's in the bad business.
So what did this guy look like?
Oh boy, here we go. Okay, so okay.
You want me to just flip back to the description of Boom Boom? Is that what you want me to do?
You wish. You wish. Please hold.
Your call has been disconnected.
Fuck is it? Oh shit! I actually had the guy's name written down for the guy that you're going to be talking to, and I didn't realize. Okay, that's okay. Yeah. So he's like,
this guy is like, he's short. He's like 5'7", but he's built like a house. He's got a nice pinstripe suit on that was all gray and bald, but he had real thin rimmed glasses. But man, I tell you, just staring into that guy's eyes, I knew those deep, dark black eyes. I knew that there was no good in those.
You have any kind of accent or anything? Sound Irish, sound Italian? Maybe you just sound like you come from New York, right? Sound like you and me.
He says, yeah, he had a real thick Irish accent. Now that you mention it, real thick.
Huh. Not anybody that I'm familiar with. Okay, that's good. That's real good. Look, we'll, you know, and he kind of like waves his hand between the two of us. We'll just keep this between us. And hopefully nothing else has to come out. That gives me, something else I can go check out.
And when you say nothing else will come out, his eyes kind of like widen or whatever. Cause he's like, what do you mean? Nothing else comes out. I'm not in any trouble. Am I?
Look, some guy pulled the gun on you. I don't think that should cost you your job. Right. I can run this lead down and see if I can't pull something out of it. I don't think that has to involve you in any kind of way.
Oh, okay. But if anything were to come of anything, you would let me know, right? For my safety?
Oh, yeah. No, I don't. Yeah, it should be fine. That should be fine.
Okay. All right. I trust you.
I mean, you're just some random guy doing his job, right? I mean, it's not like you knew who you were.
Yeah. I'm just trying to put my nose to the grindstone, but I don't want any harm to come to me.
Yeah. I think, you know, everything will work out.
I hope so. And he just kind of stares at the ground.
He says, I think, you know, he's already standing. So like, I think he just like puts the pack of cigarettes on the corner of the recliner. And again, he kind of like pats him on the shoulder. He says, you know, you did real good. Thanks for talking to me. You stay safe and, you know, if I find out anything that you need to know, I'll make sure that I call you.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. Armstrong. And if I think of anything else, I'll call you. And he picks up your card off the table that he threw it on or whatever, and he holds it up.
Yeah. You do that.
Okay.
I'll see myself out.
Okay. Okay. Thank you. And he just kind of sits there, and you see him like awkwardly take another cigarette out, and his hands are shaking. He lights it up or whatever. And as you go to close the door, you can kind of hear him talking to himself, and he says, "Do I need to get a gun now?" As you close the door,
he just kind of like, "I'm not going to say anything. I'm not going to. Too many things going on. Too many irons in the fire right now." So he bops on back down the steps out to the car. And, he says to Freddie, I guess, as he's walking up to the car, not real loud, but like as he, you know, comes up abreast of him, and he says, "You ever seen anybody around at work? You work with the Dodgers at all, Freddie? I'm sorry, I never even asked you. I just figured, you know, you work for the Dodgers there."
No, actually I don't. Well, I get hired by the Dodgers organization every once in a while to drive people to and from the stadium. A lot of times it's your bigwigs, you know, like if a singer, like a, I'm not going to name names right now just because I can't think of anybody, but
old Blue Eyes.
I think I said before. Yeah. Old Blue Eyes. Yep. So he's just like, yeah, if, you know, if Mr. Sinatra needs to come to the game, or, you know, another athlete, or a, you know, another celebrity, you know, they call me.
So let me ask you a question. I'm going to take a shot in the dark here. You ever bring anybody over to the stadium? He's got a real thick Irish accent, mean looking mug, short, maybe about yay big.
He thinks about it a little bit. He's like, you know, maybe. He's like, can you give me a little bit more information?
Yeah, he's maybe about 5'7", real thick guy. Probably come in all dressed up, nice suit, bald, thin glasses, thin rimmed glasses, dark eyes, real heavy accent.
He says, you know, that kind of reminds me of, what's that guy's name? Oh, can't think of him. Boy, I think his name was like Blaine, or not Rain. That'd be a weird name. What is it? Lane. I think his name was Lane.
Yeah, I'll say.
Yeah. Trying to think, what's his last name? I'm usually pretty good at the names. That one's not coming to me, though. Lane. Stumper? Stank? Stom? Stanker. That's it. Lane Stinker. Yeah, it's kind of a weird name. Wait a minute. And his eyes widen. And he says, uh-oh. And he just kind of starts and stops. And he says,
You can't cut out on me now.
No, I'm not going to cut out on you now. It's pretty interesting coincidence. I'm pretty sure that he works for Boom Boom.
color me shocked. How would you happen to know that, Freddie?
And he does the thing where he kind of is like offended. He like backs up and he says, okay, I don't know if you know this, but technically Boom Boom is one of those celebrities, even though he's a local celebrity. And I don't trust him as far as I can throw him.
And like he does air quotes and says celebrity.
Yeah. Exactly.
Well, that's, I can't say that that's a surprise. You know, you've been pretty fucking helpful, Freddie. I gotta say, if I was looking to hire somebody, it might be you.
And he kind of like straightens his tie and like kind of like gets an air of confidence or whatever. And he says, I think it's just more my memory. You know, I've got a pretty good memory.
Yeah, you do. Well, shit. I think we should probably head down to the 23rd and see if Officer Michaels is around. We have a little bit of chatting to do, I think.
Okay. And he just kind of thinks about something for a little bit or whatever. He's just like he looks at you and he says, with that Lane character, be careful. He's as much as Boom Boom seems dangerous. Be careful of that Lane. He's kind of a wild card.
Well, I gotta be honest with you, Freddie. It's not going to be the first time I probably almost get killed.
And he like, you smile and he like smiles back and he's just like, he says it out loud. He's like, why are we smiling at each other right now? That's not something to smile about.
Well, you know, what are you going to do? Right. I mean,
I suppose if you can't laugh at it, then you go down a deep path, I guess.
Yeah. It's, yeah. For sure. And then he just stops and then gets in the car because he doesn't want to have the rest of this conversation.
Nice. Yeah. Yep. Sounds good. Yeah. All right. So yeah. So you head to the 23rd precinct. There's the entrance and then there's a front area or whatever where there's somebody working the, can't remember what they call it. Like it's not the watchtower, but it's like whatever is in the front there. I can't remember exactly what it is. Anyway. Yeah, there's
it's a not the bullpen, right?
Maybe. But
that's reporting. Is that like a reporter thing would be a bullpen? I don't know.
Yeah, you're right. It's a bull. Yeah, it's not the bullpen. It's something else. I forget. I should know these things. Okay. Or at least find out about them. So yeah, so there's an officer there that's just waiting for people to come in to process people and stuff like that. Or officers, they'll come in and process and so on and so forth, whatever.
Yeah, if there's anybody there, he'll wait, you know, until opens up and the person's got a free minute.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, there's nothing going on at the moment.
Okay. Yep. Yeah, he goes up, says, excuse me, good morning. My name is George Armstrong. I'm a private investigator. Would Officer Michaels happen to be in today?
And he just kind of like flips a book. He's obviously looking for who's working what or whatever. And the officer says, it looks like he's actually working. What's this concerning?
It's the case that over at the Dodger Stadium there.
Okay. All right. I will see if he's available to talk to you. Give me one moment.
Sure. Thanks. And he right. steps so away he from the desk. And
okay. Yeah. Sounds good. Yep. There's a waiting area for people, but there's also like people, there's like a couple of guys that are actually like handcuffed and sitting in a chair or whatever. And one's got like a big bruise on the left part of their face or whatever. And the other one's like got his head down and kind of swaying from side to side, going, singing a song. Like to obviously wasted from the night before. And it takes a few moments and the,
the watch commander, maybe it's a watch commander, whatever, comes back and Michaels is in tow. And he says, oh, Mr. Armstrong, good to see you. Any news? And he shakes your hand.
Yeah, he steps forward, shakes his hand. He says, yeah, actually, I do. You have a couple of minutes? Do we got have a place we could chat?
He says, of course, come to my office. And he takes you to the back. It's open, basically. There's not like a real like space to like talk to you unless there's like a interrogation room, and he's not going to take you into that just because he's not going to muck that up for anybody else that wants to use it or whatever. So he takes you back to his desk. You see that he's got paperwork all over the place. He's got a picture of his wife and two children. It's messy, but also tidy at the same time. And you can tell that he's got some paperwork out for the case that he's working as far as for this case, but he's also got some other paperwork too. And he closes a couple of them cause he doesn't want you to see what's going on whatever. And he says, have a seat. Can I get you some coffee?
Yeah, coffee'd be great. And then, like, he reaches in his pocket to pull out his cigarettes, and he's like,
"Nice." All right. So yeah, he literally just walks across the way, grabs a couple coffees, brings one to you or whatever, and he's like, "Black sugars?"
Oh no, black's good. Thanks.
All right, black is good. All right, man after my own heart. All right, here we go. And he sits down. He says, "All right, what do we got?"
All right. Well, so here's where we got. So I know that you guys got a missing persons report out on Johnny. I think I might have known what happened to him. I got a lot of information. Like, he starts flipping through his book. He's like, let me flip, goes back the other way. He says, okay, so here we are. I talked to Monty Casey this morning. I just came from his place. He was the replacement driver that came in to fill in for Johnny. I don't know if you talked to him yet already. Apologize if I'm stepping on toes. I missed it on the first day. Anyway, I went to go talk to him. So he went in that night. He's delivering the goods. This guy comes in, manhandles him a little bit, pulls a gun, tells him to turn around. He didn't see nothing. And that's all he knows. It seems like this guy is Lane Stanker. Ring any bells for you?
And he like automatically shakes his head. He's like, "Yep, we're aware of Mr. Stanker."
Yeah, I figured. So I'm assuming Mr. Lane Stanker stole the ball for Boom Boom, who I had the pleasure of meeting last night in his basement. Don't recommend. 0 stars. Nice casino, though, I guess. I seen a couple of your guys there. Maybe I shouldn't have said, I don't want to get off on the wrong foot. It's a lot of things happening right now. And he like pauses and like takes a sip of coffee and kind of like, okay. Mr. Casey, he sees this Lane Stanker got shot by a guy named Johnson. Jesus. Anyway. So he's there. We think it's him. About 5'7", you know him, crazy eyes, you know, bald head, all nine yards. He didn't say anything to Mr. Stanwyck because obviously he was scared. I don't know if there's any reason to bring that up. I'm, you know, trying to get this guy fired or anything. But my driver, Freddie, so as I was being introduced to Boom Boom in his basement, he overheard or struck up a conversation with one of the regulars over there, and they said that they seen Johnny come in. He went into the office, and nobody's seen him since. So I didn't see the ball. I didn't see Johnny. I did see a little blood when I was down in the basement. Wasn't mine, thankfully. So, yeah, that's where we're at. I talked to the ball player there. What's his name? Crap, it's escaping me.
Cuddles.
Cuddles. Yeah. I talked to him. He confirmed timeline. You know, he's working for the Dodgers still, at least a little bit. Everything else seems to line up. When I talked to Johnny's mom, I asked to see, you know, if the kid's hanging around with anybody, if he fell in with the wrong crowd kind of thing. Asked if he had any debts, and she got a little squirrely. And then his dad came out, and he kind of put the kibosh on everything. So I don't know if the kid got into a little bit of trouble, told him about, you know, maybe told Boom Boom about the ball. You know, this guy comes in like gangbusters and takes it. You know, maybe Johnny wants to get his cut. And, you know, you don't ask for a cut from guys like that. You get the kind of cut you're not looking for.
And he's like scribbling a lot of this down as you're kind of talking to him, or he's taking notes or whatever. He says that, oh, that's interesting. That's very interesting. Mr. Stanker has been on our radar for quite a while now because he's done some things in his career. He's pulled some B&Es. He's gotten in trouble for some disorderly conducts, stuff like that. Heard through the grapevine that he's working on other things as well. But something like this, he's got some guts. That's for sure.
I don't know if I call it guts. You know, is Boom Boom the connected guy, or is he making his own way?
Well, I won't say that he's connected, but you know, it feels like anybody that's on the wrong side of the law has some kind of connection. We haven't been able to find that. We haven't been able to figure that out. As far as Boom Boom himself, he's a slippery one. He is overly confident and resourceful. So we haven't really pegged him for anything yet. Until now.
Yeah, that figures. Well, even if he's not connected, at least he's working with permission, I would imagine.
Could be.
I mean, that field is getting smaller and smaller with the Luca getting taken out, and I don't know. I mean, try not to move in those circles if I don't have to, you know what I mean?
Yeah, but believe me, working as an officer of the law, you know, you come in contact with those people more than you want to. And as much as that's my job, I would love to stay away from that myself.
Yeah, the circles you got to move in, you know?
Yeah, it's a dangerous game. And unfortunately, we're stuck in the middle of it.
Well, here's the thing. And he sits back in the chair and he steeple his hands or anything, but like he relaxes a little bit and he says, Stanwyck hired me to figure out what's going on. I think we have a pretty good idea of what's going on, but I don't have the authority to go in there and arrest anybody, knock heads, anything like that. So I'm not sure what the next step might be for me because, I mean, this seems like a you problem now.
And he kind of laughs at that. And he says, you know what? As much as this job sometimes is, even though sometimes this job has its own pros and cons, I'm actually pretty excited about this one. And you know what? I think you've done yourself good. I think coming up here in the next, hopefully, day or two, you will have some very good news for Mr. Stanwyck.
All right, I like the sound of that. It's only Wednesday, so we got a couple of days till judge probably take, what, the 24 hours? Do you think this is enough to get a warrant? I mean, it's all circumstantial.
And he's like, he says, you know what? I've got a few judges that like me, so you know what? Might be able to get it sooner than later.
I like the sound of that. I guess if you need backup, I'm available. I don't know. That's kind of a little bit past my pay grade, but, whatever. So Stanwyck gave me the prohibition that, you know, he wanted to keep things on the down low. How does that work out for this? You pick him up maybe for something else. The ball winds up getting back to me, back to Stanwyck. That stays out of the papers. I mean, he's a pretty big fish in this town. I don't know if you want to piss him off too much.
Roll me a persuasion check, and I'm going to have the DL be a 6.
Uh-oh. 4, 4, 5, 6, 7. 7. Yes.
Nice. So that is just a straight yes. And he says, I don't know why, but there's something about you that makes me want to do the right thing for you, even though maybe it's not the best thing for this case. So yeah, let's just say Mr. Stanker has got some outstanding warrants, and we'll just pull him in and ask him a few questions, and
we'll see if see how that shakes out.
All right, that sounds good to me. You're a good guy. It's all in the face, right? I got a trusting face.
He starts laughing. He's like, I don't know if I go that far.
Yeah, you're probably right.
He chuckles with you or whatever. He says, I'm going to get on this. I'm going to talk to my captain about it, see if we can get the ball rolling. You were telling me that Mr. Stanwyck has you up at the, damn it.
Brain the is name going of the too place fast that I wrote down.
Yep.
The Bossert. I'm over at the Bossert.
Yeah, you're ever at the Hotel Bossert. Yeah, why don't you enjoy yourself for the next couple of days, and just in case we might have to have a conversation, in case you maybe have to fill me in or someone else in on what's going on.
Yeah, for sure. And he, you know, gives him another card. I think I gave him my card already, but he gives him another one, so he doesn't have to go looking around for it.
Okay. You should probably write down like the hotel number and your extension too, just because you're going to be staying at the hotel right now.
Yeah. If I know what my, because the extension is probably the room number, right? So yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
Put a lot of stuff on the back. Yeah.
Okay.
Perfect. Hotel boss or room number or whatever. Yep.
Yep. Perfect. He's like, okay. He's like, yep. I will, I hopefully will not have to talk to you anytime soon because we'll have gotten.
Oh, that hurts my feelings.
He laughs or whatever. He says, you know what? You won't miss me. And he kind of giggles or whatever. And he says, all right, well, I've got to get to it. So I will, unfortunately I won't see you out. You kind of know where to go.
Yeah, for sure. You know, hands on the thing, stands up, leans over, you know, extends his hand, shakes his hand.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. He definitely shakes your hand.
I appreciate all your help. And, I hope you can make something stick on these guys.
He says, I'm confident we will. Thanks, Mr. Armstrong.
You got it. Hey, stay safe out there.
You as well.
Yep. He nods and heads back out. Waves all right. to the, you know, kind of salutes the guy at the desk. Waves at the drunk guy as he's kind of swaying back and forth.
Nice. Yeah. So, excuse me. So, yeah, you come outside and you've got a spring in your step, let's say. Mm-hmm. And you know, you as you come out, Freddy's just kind of leaning against the car, and he like sees you, and he sees kind of the look on your face, and he's like, see, it seems by the look on your face that you have some good news.
I don't have bad news, Freddy. And he claps him on the back and he gets in the car.
Nice. And he like as you get in the car, he kind of like opens the door, he kind of looks like at the police station or whatever, kind of smiles, and then gets into the car or whatever, and he's like, where to, Mr. Armstrong?
We gotta head over to Woolworths. I need to pick up a pack of smokes and a couple of bells.
Nice. There's a name I haven't heard in a long time. And I'm not saying that as Freddy, I'm saying that as me. Yeah. So yeah, you go up, you pick up the stuff or whatever. Now it's probably it's maybe around lunchtime now. It's not super late.
It's been a pretty full morning.
Yeah, it has been. It's true.
Both those conversations are short. Casey, maybe like an hour. Yeah, I don't know. I just figure it's got to be like 1:30 maybe, right?
Sounds good. Yeah, for sure. So yeah, you think you've solved the case. You've given all the information you can to Officer Michaels. You have time in between now and when you're going to see Jane. Is there anything that you're going to do in between there?
Go to Woolworths. I'm gonna, you know, pick up a carton of smokes. I don't know. I mean, why would you buy them a pack at a time, right? Carton of smokes, literal bells that he can hang nice. Around his neck, you know, like little, you know, whatever. He'd probably buy Freddie lunch because Woolworths got the counter and all, right?
Yeah.
So we'll grab lunch. Think he would necessarily have anything else to do.
Okay.
You know, by like 3 o'clock or so, I guess they get back to the hotel, and then I will call Margo again.
Okay. Awesome. Yeah. So it goes right to her. She picks up within the first ring, and she's like, damn it. What did I name her last name? God, I'm so terrible at this.
Barker.
Barker. Thank you. This is Miss Barker. How may I help you?
Hi, Miss Barker. This is George Armstrong. How you doing?
Oh, George, Mr. Armstrong. Great. How are you, sir?
I'm doing surprisingly well. I've got some potentially good news. I spoke to one of my contacts, and it seems as if he is pushing things forward, and we hope to have a resolution by tomorrow, the next day at the latest.
Oh, that's wonderful news. Oh, I'm so glad that you're able to tell me that. Well, I suppose I wouldn't ask for any specifics because, you know, it might endanger us. So yeah, I will not ask that. I will definitely pass along that news. Is there anything else you'd like me to pass on to Mr. Stanwyck?
No, you could tell him I appreciate his hospitality. This is a very beautiful hotel, one that I would not be able to stay at on my salary.
And she says, I've heard only good things about that hotel. Unfortunately, I don't get that luxury, and I'm glad that you are able to have a good time there.
Well, thank you. Thank you. Yeah, I as soon as I find out more, I will let you know. I hesitate to give specifics. Suffice it to say, I'm hoping to have a resolution.
Sounds great. Thank you very much for calling, Mr. Armstrong.
You bet. I hope you have a good night.
Oh, I think I will now. You as well.
Thanks.
All right. Good night, sir.
Good night. And yep. I think he takes a shower, you know, shaves everything, you know, like gets himself all squirted away for tonight. Nope, you're good. Yep. Just
more notes. Go ahead.
More notes. Nope. Yeah. No. He's trying to relax. He's pretty confident. Like, he feels pretty good. I mean, like, the backup plan would be, you know, they couldn't do it. You know, whatever, this doesn't work out the way that he thought it would. And then he goes to talk to Cuddles and just has him like sign another ball. Like, here it is. We did it.
Nice.
So yeah, like that's kind of like his ace in his pocket. Cause it makes the other ball essentially worthless.
Yeah.
Right. Cause now, like, he could be like, oh no, it's this one, the one that I stole. This is the real one.
I love it. So yeah. So yeah, you get yourself all gussied up for the night. You go down to the lobby around six-ish, and she's actually waiting for you in the lobby as you approach.
Oh no, he would go down early.
Okay.
He would go down there so that he was there waiting for her. Yeah.
Okay. All right. Fine. Okay. Yep. So
he's not gonna fuck this up.
I rolled the die. That's why I was like, she gets there first, but obviously I will let you get there first, because why wouldn't you? Anyway, so yeah. So yep, she comes in. She is in a very stunning red dress with flowers on it. She has a rose in her hair, and it is put up very nicely. You can tell that she's been waiting for this for a while, so she is made up very nice. High heels. Very broad smile on her face.
Yep. He's probably, like, you know, sitting in one of those big plushy chairs and the thing. So like, he sees her walk in, like, does the double take, you know, stands, you know, buttons his coat back up, pulls everything down. Like, he's in I think he probably even had a suit pressed while he was here. Cause again, he's not paying for it. Nice. Right. Like, he just calls the concierge and like, here, I need you to clean this up for me.
Yep. For sure.
So he's in a, you know, not like a super fancy suit, but like a, you know, a nice solid gray suit. You know, it's fully pressed, which is unusual. You know, mm-hmm. He's got his hair all, you know, slicked back, and you know, he's all clean shaven and everything. So like, as he, you know, is approaching her, you just hear like ding, 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 ding. Mm-hmm. And he's got like two little bells like clipped into his lapels.
Nice. And she like laughs like heartily out loud, to where it scares some people, and people kind of look or whatever. And then they see what's happening and they just kind of laugh and move on or whatever. And she gets a little closer to you and she does a little curtsy and she's just like, Mr. Armstrong.
And she's, well, wow, you look stunning. Jeez. You know, I think he, you know, goes into, you know, to give her a hug and gives her a peck on the cheek. See how this is going to go.
Yeah, for sure. And she fully embraces you. She does it a little softly just because of.
Yeah.
You can tell she's still trying to get over her injuries or whatever. So she, you know, she winces a little bit, but she's, you know, fully into the embrace or whatever she said. And she pulls you back and kind of looks at you and she says, I don't think I've ever seen you this cleaned up.
Yeah, you know, it's I'm working, you know, and it's not a, but you're here and yeah, you know, it's a special night.
And she kind of giggles and she says, it is, isn't it? And she says, so where are you taking me?
Would you like to eat first or
she like smiles at you wryly and she says, like, I would like nothing more.
All right. After you, beautiful. And he, you know, puts a hand for her to step forward and then, you know, you know, steps up next to her, puts an arm around her waist and, you know, heads over to the elevator.
Yep. Sounds good. Yep. So you guys head up to the elevator. The doors open and the restaurant is slammed. There's people everywhere. People are having a great time chatting, that kind of thing. There's actually someone playing piano in the corner. And everybody's loving it. People are tapping their feet. People are singing along. It's just a lively night. And a waiter or a maitre d' comes up to you and says, for two?
Yes, please. Thank you. Table off to the side if you have one.
And he says, you're in luck. I have one that just opened up. Follow me.
Perfect.
And he takes a couple of menus. Takes you to that nice table. It's got a view of everything. You can tell, again, it's a time where there's people that play, there's athletes, there's celebrities. People are here to have a good time. The one thing I can't think of, never mind.
Oh, maybe I know. Lawrence, or somebody I don't know.
That's it. No, that one. Never mind. So yeah, let's just say there's whoever's playing piano is a professional musician that everybody knows. I can't think of anything at the top of my head who would be doing that. Anyway.
That time? I could be.
Yeah.
Bill. I don't know. If Bill Evans was definitely around in the 50s. I don't know if he would be active at that time. I can Google real quick. I mean, for jazz.
Yeah.
He was born in 29. So if this is 47, I don't know what point he was in 55 he moved to New York City.
Okay. All right. So not that's him. Just before his time. And let's just say it's a Bill Evans type.
Yeah.
Yep. Yeah. And everybody's just tapping toes, people are dancing, drinking, have a good time. Like, this is a phenomenal atmosphere. And you can tell Jane, even though Jane's been some places, like, for some reason, you can tell she's kind of feels out of place. She also is like enthralled at what's going on. And she as you're going to your table, she kind of does a little like dance as she's kind of walking or whatever. And she's to the moon. She's just excited about what's going on.
I appreciate that as we're like, you know, as we're walking through or whatever, that, you know, she's in a good mood, that she, you know, she physically seems better, right? Like, all that kind of stuff. But I'm also scanning the crowd. I want to make an awareness. I don't want to be taken unawares if there's things happening. I just want to make sure that I'm not going to be surprised. You know what I mean?
Yeah, for sure.
Oh, that's not my
DL is going to be 3.
Okay. I got a 6.
Nice. Yeah. So you're scanning the room. You have... Every once in a while, you'll see like there's eyes on you, but it's more of like
on her. It's not on me.
it truly is. It's truly, you know, one guy's just like really giving her eye, like, wow, she's a knockout. There's a lady that just kind of giggles as she's dancing. She's kind of like, whoa, she thinks that's, you know, funny or, you know, fun. So she kind of giggles. But there's no immediate threat that you can see.
Okay. Yeah, just fine. So we get to the table.
Okay. Did you want an and? You have an and available.
and nobody bothers us. boom, 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 boom doesn't show up and be like, oh, I remember you, motherfucker. Yeah, that was my concern, was that he might be there, right? Kind of thing.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, I think tonight, I think tonight you can let your hair down, because there will be no boom, boom around as far as you know.
I think at the beginning, he's still somewhat he relaxes into the evening. He sits, you know, so if it's a booth or, you know, a table like in the corner, table. So she's facing, so she can see out the window and my back's to the wall, whatever that happens to be, the window or whatever.
Scan everything.
So I can, right. And as the night progresses, like he relaxes a little bit more and, you know, kind of leans into what's happening in the moment.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. So you guys talk about different things. Like if you want to talk about the case, you can. She talks about going to see her mom. They bake some cookies, gave them to some kids around the neighborhood. She's like, I feel like I'm at a really good place. You know, she's like, things feel better physically. She says, you know, I've seen a lot of hardships in my life. I don't think I've ever told you this, but when my mom was younger, she met a lot of guys that weren't my dad, and I had a lot of uncles, and I didn't really know where my life was headed. I didn't really know where my life was headed, and my mom also had that. Fortunately for her, she spent a horrible night in jail and decided to clean herself up, and she's been better since. And I told myself that I would never be that person or be my deadbeat dad. That being said, I think I'm in a good place, and this is going to be weird to say, but I would like to hire you.
Like, I don't think he says anything. Like, he's just, well, what do you mean? Is everything okay?
She says, do we ever give Jane a last name?
We did. Let me pull it up.
Yeah, if you don't mind.
Jane Michaels. Hey, you're not related to that cop over there at the 23rd, are you?
I knew you were going to say that. That was awesome. Well, yes, I am, actually. No. Well, it's really hard coming out with last names, first names. They're always going to circle each other. She says, I've never known my father. And even though I'm angry for how he left me, I want to know why. You haven't heard of Carson Michaels, have you? And I want you to roll me a brains roll. I don't think you have like a history or anything like that.
No.
So yeah, I'll have the DL be a 3.
Highest is a 5.
Okay. You actually recognize the name. The name of Carson Michaels is a famous wheelman for some pretty heavy duty heist around New York. And he hasn't been seen in a very long time. He went to jail for a very long time, was released, and hasn't been seen since. And she says, I want to hire you to find him so I can look him in the eyes.
I think he takes her hand and like kisses the back of her hand, you know, looks at her in the eyes and says, are you sure that's what you really want? Sometimes these things are better left alone, if you know what I mean. If you want me to do it all, I'm not trying to talk you out of it. I just, you know, are you sure this is what you really want?
And she, instead of like looking off to the side, how some people do when they're pensive about things, she stares you right dead in the eyes. And she says, I've never been more sure of anything in my whole life.
This podcast is a proud member of the Legends of Tabletop Broadcast Network. For more gaming-related content, please visit www.legendsoftabletop.com.